Welcome to Exploring Possibilities. I'm your host, Cheryl Sitz. Since 2012, Mario Rosales of Tech Life Balance and I have been airing inspiring, insightful conversations with all kinds of change agents who are raising the vibration on our planet. It's the intention of our show to explore possibilities and shift perspectives in holistic, spiritual ways. You'll hear how various industry experts discover and share their deepest passions to make a bigger difference in the world. You can subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play. And do me a favor, please come back and rate the show so that new people can find us. We'll introduce our next guest in just a moment.
Have you ever gone to a social media seminar and you have the online experts telling you, get a blog, get a website, get on social media, all this other stuff? By the time you're done with that seminar, that online expert is very good at frying your brain. The funny part is, you come back home, you get in front of the computer, and you're lost. Hi, I am Mario with Tech Life Balance. I see this all the time. You spend so much money and still don't know what is going on with your online presence. And you know, you probably don't need all of that. Let me go ahead and translate Geek to English for you and show you what you really need, because you don't need it all. You probably only need a few components. You have a great message out there, and I would like to hear it, and I definitely want to help you put it out there. I am Mario Rosales with TechLifeBalance.net. I produce this podcast because I love distributing messages. Let me help you distribute your message.
Hi, it's your host, Cheryl Sitz. And when I'm not doing this podcast, I enjoy offering live or remote coaching sessions to help my clients explore their possibilities. Maybe you have a physical pain and you've never really gotten to the emotional root cause. Wouldn't it be nice to be free of that? We can do that together. We can also explore what it is you really want or what's really holding you back and get rid of that too. There's lots we can do together. Contact me, CherylSitz.com. Now on with the show. Isn't that nice? I don't know why I haven't done that before. Singing bowl to start our show. And like that, everything else is going to be different about today too, because I was waiting for our guest and she didn't make it. So here we are. Mario's with me and we decided we're just going to do our own thing today.
Yep, we're going to do our own thing and we're going to see how it all goes.
So while we were sitting here waiting, we were looking at the latest search terms in Google, what people are Googling for these days. And several of the top 10 were help with anxiety. And so I said, you know, why don't we talk about anxiety on the show?
Yeah, and as we started going through that, it's like, well, what is anxiety? I mean,
Do you have anxiety about anxiety?
I have an anxiety right now. Maybe that's what it is. So let's see. We search it up, and then Google says, a feeling of worry, nervousness, or unease, typically about imminent event or something with an uncertain outcome.
So basically, any uncertainty about life is anxiety.
That's every day.
Yeah. No wonder anxiety is like the top search term in Google. You know, and it's funny because we were talking before we started recording, and I wouldn't think on the surface that I ever have anxiety. And you said the same thing.
Yeah. I mean, it's maybe back in a while, a long time ago, before I started meditating and doing all that kind of stuff. But nowadays, I feel pretty easy going with the day-to-day stuff. So I do get my obstacles once in a while, but I deal with it. I don't know. What do you feel?
Well, you know, I've never really called it anxiety. I've been a worrier, and I've called it that, or stress. I hear stress a lot, but I don't really ever think about anxiety itself. But I guess there are probably a lot of people running around on anti-anxiety medications, because that's what the medical community calls it, is anxiety, right?
Yeah, and then maybe that's why Deepak is becoming so popular.
Yeah,
now.
Really. And anybody else that can help with meditation or anything. I think that's probably also part of why some people come to our show, help with the day-to-day life.
Yeah, we were looking at the trends for help with, and then whatever came up. And then I laughed because the first one was help with File Explorer on Windows. So I guess you feel anxiety about that, I guess.
Yeah, there's a lot of things about computers that cause anxiety, which keeps you employed with a lot of things too, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. So I guess I can't really complain about that.
But you know, I think like when people reach out to me about anxiety, they're worried about
their business. I've got a lot of entrepreneurs in my network, and they worry about their practice, their business, and the ebb and flow of that. We worry about money. We worry about relationships. We worry about, like the definition said, it's really about the unknown, which is everything in life. But I think why I wanted to, yeah, there's the cat came to play with us today too. So you might hear some shenanigans in the background from Nala.
Oh, look, and here's the other part of the anxiety. It says, desire to do something typically accompanied by unease.
Yep, that's pretty much, that's really about authentic living, isn't it? I mean, I think when I step into my authenticity, there's this, whoo, we got no idea what people are going to think of this or if it's even going to work or where my place is, right?
Yeah, the uneasiness of just whatever happens from day to day. I mean, when I remember when I was in the corporate world, it's like, well, what's going to happen today? And then a server would crash or the CEO's computer was broken and I had to go fix it. I mean, that was the, I guess, the unease that was accompanied for me, I would say, I guess.
Right? I think a lot of mine's been relationship oriented, you know, like the relationships that I have with the people I work with my clients, with coworkers, with my friends, with the community, with life is basically about relationships. And that's all about the unknown. If you want to go into the mystery, just sit down and have a conversation with anybody you know. And that is the mystery. And not so much about what's going to come out of it, but how are we going to interpret what each other's saying? What's going to set each other off, right? All of that can take us into anxiety.
So we're just an anxiety society.
Yeah, pretty much anxiety society. That's pretty good. Yeah, I think we kind of are. I'm understanding Google's interest in this now. And I'm curious what most people do for anxiety. I know that before I found holistic and spiritual practices, I drank. There was a time in my life I did drugs. I worked my way through it. I pushed my way through it. I'd go to the gym and work out until my mind was off of it or whatever. But it was all very much centered around what I could see in front of me. I was reacting to the outer world with solutions that I found in the outer world. I didn't really go inside me for an answer.
But, you know, that is society, though. I mean, when you really see it, I mean, I remember also right after a heavy day or what I would call it, a stressful day in corporate America, well, you would go out and call the guys or the women in your case or whoever, you know, and go, it's like, hey, let's go have a drink.
Yep.
Oh, let's go have this. It's like they don't go tell you. It's like, well, you know, you need like 10 minutes of silence before you go here. It's like, come on, guys, we're going to go have 10 minutes of silence, are we?
No.
It doesn't work that way. Now imagine just sounding like that with your fellow colleagues there. It's not normal.
I think things are changing, though. You know, I hear more about companies that are involving practices of meditation and quiet spaces and allowing people space and time for their spiritual practices so that they can find ways to release stress without, hopefully, I'm sure in their case, taking it on their coworkers or getting sick and losing time from work. So there's even a real monetary drive in the business sector now to deal with anxiety and stress and help people alleviate that at work.
Yeah, there's a Holly woo-woo, and then there's the real woo-woo. And then there's the, well, okay, I don't know if this is woo-woo or not, but I guess I'll do that too.
whatever helps, right?
No, all joking aside, though, I mean, meditation's real. It's a real thing, you know, scientifically proven. And that's one of the things that I think Deepak Chopra has really brought on, all the science behind it. And because before it was, oh, you're a Buddhist, you're going to go to an Asian country or India, and then you're going to disappear for 10 years and you're going to come back and you're going to be all Zen and stuff.
Well, you know, there's even still a tendency here. I talk to people and they work until they're all stressed out and then they take a vacation or they go on a retreat. So I think there's still, we're moving through that, but there's still a tendency. We get lost in the doing and the busyness and then our anxiety's up and we're looking to fix it in that busy pace. And the answers aren't there. You know, and I think that's why we turn to Google and go, help, I don't know what to do with all this anxiety, because the one thing that we don't do is the answer, and that's to slow down and to find a way to give ourselves 10 minutes to go within. I think that's why cigarettes were so popular, taking a cigarette break, because for 10 minutes, you stopped doing everything else and you smoked a cigarette.
Well, now the cigarette has been taken over by the, what do they call those, smokeless?
Oh, the vape. Thing. Yeah, everybody's vaping. Yeah.
So now instead of smoking, it's like, let's go vape.
Yep, yeah. They vape.
Yeah.
Well, and the funny thing is, if I really look at that habit, and I had it for a long time, so I'm very compassionate to people that smoke, that want to quit, or I do understand. But when I stopped and I looked at it later, because I missed going and taking a cigarette break, and what I realized was it was 10 minutes that I was stopping working, which felt good. And then after, you know, in more modern times, having to go outside. So I was not only stopping working, I was going outside, taking a break from my office, which was good. And then I was deep breathing for 10 minutes. Well, why can't we just do that without the tobacco and feel a whole lot better? Maybe take a little walk or something.
Well, and you know, there's also breath work, you know, that we heard also about, that we've had some experience with it, where breath work, where all it is take a deep breath for 10 seconds and then exhale it out, and then do that 3 or 4 more times, and you're going to find yourself very at a calm state after that.
Yes, it's true. And something else that is easy and readily accessible is just, you know, what I did at the beginning of the show, finding access to singing bowls or something and just putting your headphones on while you take that little 10-minute break and go walk and do a little breath work and maybe put your headphones on some mm-hmm. singing bowl stuff. There's plenty of free stuff out there on YouTube. You can find singing bowls and just breathing that in while we're breathing and just clearing the mind. It's really transformational, especially in the middle of a stressful day.
Yeah, that... Any of those, that all gets into the vibration and getting into the sound. Like there's binaural beats that you can also do. That's the things that you hear, and it's just the tone. And I feel that's what the bowls do. Any Tibetan bowl, any crystal bowl, I think all of those do that.
I agree. It is all vibration. It's funny that you bring that up, because I've been kind of playing with that. I'm putting together a workshop. I feel like I'm going to be doing a series online around this. And at the heart of that is vibration. We don't realize the impact of vibration on us, but we get into this stressful vibration and this really, our body's all tensed up. And really what's important is to breathe and to expand and to relax into life and into the breath, instead of being all tensed up and reactionary to everything around us.
Yeah, and I'm looking here. I'm fascinated by the word anxiety, because now in Google here, when you do a search for anxiety, it comes up with a couple of bullet items, and it has a category of psychiatry, a nervous disorder characterized by a state of excessive uneasiness and apprehension, typically with compulsive behavior or panic attacks. You know, all joking around about the anxiety, how there are levels and there are extreme cases, but I still feel some of it could probably, instead of taking a Prozac or whatever the popular thing is now, you could do some meditation. And I still think that would be something, because it's funny, some of the medications tell you it's like side effects. And one of the side effects on some of them are death. It's like, I guess that was a side effect. Looking at the poor guy on the ground all dead.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah, well, that was a side effect. But at least he's not anxious anymore. I know. We are not making fun of you guys. We're not. We're making fun of ourselves when we laugh like this. Mario and I have found a lot of healing in humor. And we really are kind of funny creatures. We're all doing the best that we know. And then when we stop and really look at what we're doing, we go, wow, you know, I do know better than to do that.
Yeah, a lot of the things is we get into a habit. And that's what I've noticed about me, especially recently. I get into a certain habit where I start doing something and it becomes kind of the norm of my routine. And then I decide to change it. That's my kitty, by the way, if you guys can hear her. Sometimes I get into a habit and I don't even realize I'm in a habit until I finally sit down and take those extra few minutes to actually sit down and go, it's like, oh, what's happening here?
Right.
And it's a habit. That's stressing me out.
And anxiety can become habitual. And I have had panic attacks. I've had a claustrophobia attack. I've had a couple of panic attacks. I haven't had a lot of them, thankfully. But I know that the more I get lost in, I'm going to call this busyness, because what I think is so powerful to recognize is that we are creating our life from day to day. And that was a big paradigm shift for me because I was used to getting up, moving through my day and reacting to whatever happened and trying to make the best choices based on what life was throwing at me, which is reacting to life. And to be able to slow down and breathe more and meditate more and have those practices be in my daily life, I can continue to anchor into the fact that I'm creating my life. And that's a lot less anxious place. I mean, I suppose I can have anxiety over the fact that I've got to create my life, but, you know, I can take it easy then, and I can slowly and easily and with love and compassion create a life that works for me and notice where what I'm doing isn't creating the result I want, so that I can shift my behavior and get a different result. That's very different from the anxiety of trying to keep up with that hectic, crazy pace that's going on out in the world out there.
Yeah, and we're really the ones that are creating all that anxiety when you look at it, because we're the ones that have created time to say, oh, I got to be here at this time. And if you don't show up at this time, you start making up stories. Oh, well, you know, that person doesn't respect my time, or that person doesn't respect me, or, hey, they don't respect the process. So you're already getting anxious because of all the beliefs that we have about this. And to me, it's about going with the flow. You know, you go in the flow and you go this and you go there, and the anxiety starts getting removed, because while we say creating reality, we're not saying that we're creating everything around us. In that sense, we're saying that for me at least, I'm creating my moment every time. Every word I'm saying right now is creating my next moment. That's the way, I guess, for me.
Well, I kind of think we are creating everything around us, but I get what you're saying about time. Yes, we invented time. The one thing I was picking up on when you were talking was how I've said that before. When somebody's been late, I'm very punctual. I'm very conscientious of time. I do my best to be on time. And then if I'm sitting there waiting for 20 minutes, I do feel like I must not be very important to that person. But I also know that that's my story, because the truth of it is that I probably have nothing to do with why that person is running late. They may run late to everything they do, and it has nothing to do with me. But I'm going to make that story about me, and then I'm going to get anxiety about that, and it didn't have anything to do with me.
And that's what I'm saying. It's like when I'm saying creating for me, it's like I'm talking about every moment. Yeah, we probably can't create everything. I do agree with that. It's like I do see that we could create everything. It's just a matter, are we at that capacity right now? It's like, well, to a certain point, we can create some surroundings around us, but you can't create the other person to be who you are. It's only what happens out of that, of what you learn from it, what creates who you are.
Okay, so I guess let me clarify what I mean when I say we're creating everything. I believe that our thoughts and our beliefs and our perceptions create the reality that we perceive from moment to moment. So that in that situation, there were infinite numbers of realities I could have created out of sitting there waiting on her. She could have been in a car wreck and I'm worried about her well-being. She could have forgotten the meeting and I'm angry. She could not find me very important and worth being on time for, and I can get all hurt about that. Or maybe I lose track of time and I don't even notice that she's late. All of those perceptions create a very different reality for me that I then move forward with. I'm not suggesting I'm creating another person's behavior, but in the way that I receive and perceive the things that happen around me, I create my reality for that moment and the next one. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense to me. And that's exactly what I'm saying. It's like I'm creating my reality for me, whatever that is, however that is. That's what I'm creating. So, for example, I was taking my dog for a walk this morning. It's really cool that we're talking about this. And, you know, I was walking, and we have a lot of trees in my place where we're at. So I was walking, and then all of a sudden, I always look at level, eye level, obviously. But then something told me, look up to the top, and I look towards the sky, and I see the trees, and all of a sudden, I didn't see any of the world around me. I just saw the trees and the sky. And in my perspective, my perception of that, it's like, oh, wow, cool, I'm back in the forest. Because I wasn't able to see that. And, you know, they say that we're the ones that are controlling every aspect of what we see. And it really is that, because if I was looking at eye level, I would only see all the buildings or whatever. then I look up and I see all the trees. So to me, that's my reality. And if I want to relax, I just look up and look at the trees and there we go.
Right. And so if you ran into a neighbor who was also walking their dog, and maybe she's frustrated because there's nothing but traffic piled up out front, and she doesn't like the view, and there's litter on the ground, and her dog's misbehaving, and she runs into you, and she's frustrated, and her anxiety is high, and then she talks to you, and you're like, hey, isn't it a beautiful day? And you've been staring up at the sky and the leaves on the trees. In that sense, I guess that's what I wanted to bring through in this show is we all have anxiety. And when I catch myself with anxiety, it's a big flag for me to stop and breathe and say, okay, what's really, where is my perception causing this anxiety? Because it's almost always the way I'm interpreting a situation. And then I look at it and say, what if this is happening for me instead of to me? I take myself out of the victim role and say, maybe life happens for me. So how can this be for my benefit? What's happening right now? If I did that in the situation where the ladies kept me waiting and she's late, I might say something like, you know, this gives me time to catch up on my diary or to answer some texts or check in Facebook, which I'm famous for loving, or whatever, you know. I think perception is so important for anxiety or anything.
Yeah. And for me, it's like the big thing that I discovered for me, at least, is that being aware. You hear this word awareness all the time, and it's like, what in the world does that mean? That's, you know, when I got into this, I always heard conscious awareness. It's like, what the hell does that mean? And really, it just means to really look around, just kind of look towards yourself and see what is going on with you. There's a book that I read that explains it really well, but what the gist of it is you wait. And this is all in your mind when something reacts, when you're feeling an emotion of reaction or whatever that is, just wait and in your mind say, what is it about this that's causing me to trigger this? And usually winds up being some story or something happened to you that you just don't want to deal with or you do want to deal with. And there's a lot more behind that. And sometimes it's just that simple. It's like, hey, I just don't like this person, or hey, I don't like what's happening to me right now. And that's okay too.
So tell me more what you mean by some story, because this is one I really like to play with. What are you talking about when you say stories? Oh, before that, what was the book you were talking about?
Emotional Alchemy.
Okay, we're going to put a tag to that on the copy for this podcast so you can look at the title and get the link to that and check that book out. You talk a lot about that book with me.
Yeah, it's basically, if I understand it, if I remember right, but it's a book where this psychiatrist actually went to a Buddhist temple, and she actually learned those methods, and then she integrated into psychology.
That's pretty interesting. There's some activities and stuff in there as well. Okay, so now back to my other question. So what do you mean by some story that you're running?
So for example, like a certain type of personality, there's people that trigger me sometimes because they're this or that. And it winds up being more of something in my childhood. For example, I used to be very guilty of being very afraid of a very strong man. Yeah, because the way I grew up, some of those strong men had done something to me, you know, that either they felt threatening to me. You know, I was like 8 or 10 years old. I can't really remember anymore. I've gone through so much of this, so many layers of this. And then they did something that just anchored into me at that age. And then it stayed with me until now or until then. And then once I realized that that was the reaction from when I was a child, I was able to heal that. Because once you discover what the story is behind your reaction, you're able to heal that, at least for me.
I think we're all wired that way. I think the big thing is I didn't realize I had all those stories. You know, I thought everybody reacted that way. I guess I thought that was just normal. If somebody does that, of course I'm going to interpret it this way or that way. And then I start looking at it as I start doing deeper inner work, and I'm like, well, wait a minute. That came because, and a lot of it isn't even my story. A lot of what I believe and sense is stories that were taught to me growing up by well-meaning parents who wanted to make sure that, you know, let's take an example. I like to talk in examples because I don't want to be too abstract. So like the idea that I have to work hard for my money and that I have to go out and do a lot of hard work to have that money. And money doesn't just grow on trees, you know. So I expect, or I have been expecting, I'm working past that now. I have expected to work hard for money. And that's a story. There are people that play for their money. They're having so much fun at what they're doing. It doesn't feel like they work at all, and they have a ton of money. So I think stories can come from a lot of different places, but it's identifying those stories. And some of my stories led to a lot of anxiety for me around, you know, paying the bills. And another story in our family, because my parents filed bankruptcy when I was little, and we had to go through a lot with that. And it was a very small family unit. And back then, you didn't talk about that stuff. So not only was it a secret, there was the anxiety of keeping my family secret, but then there was, it created a lot of anxiety for me around money because I was terrified that I wouldn't have enough and then we could lose everything and they were going to knock on our door and call our phone and harass us like they did then.
Yeah, it creates links because that's happened to me too. It's where one story leads to another story that leads to another story that leads to another story. We're story making machines. And we can create the story like the best one. We talk about Hollywood directors, and but man, just look at your life and just look at it as a story, and you'll be amazed how much stuff you have there.
We have a story that we have to get up and work. And my story was 8 to 5, Monday through Friday. I needed to go have a job. There's a whole lot of people out there that have never worked those hours. And then I had a story that if I don't have that 8 to 5 job, that I'm not going to have money. And I had a story about health insurance and about going to the doctor when I'm sick. I've had so many stories that I've really been challenging and seeing expanded versions of because I've been creating expanded versions of them. That one isn't working for me anymore. What else can I create?
Well, and society doesn't help that either. I mean, it's not just us doing the story creating. I mean, society, if you look at TV, you're inundated with commercials for drugs. It's like, oh, if your knee hurts when you twist it this way, ask for so-and-so drug from your doctor. It's like they're telling you diagnose based on a 15 or 30-second commercial. It's like, oh, yeah, that's really good.
Side effects
for you.
May include heart palpitations, anxiety, which you're taking the medicine for. I know. It's kind of crazy.
And don't worry, you could possibly die from it, too.
Well, you brought up television, and I love that because then, as if we're not creating enough stories in our life, what do we do when we've got anxiety and stress and we want to relax? We kick back and turn on stories on television.
There are some good stories out there, too. It's a matter of which story do you want. We have, so if your own story is not good enough, then I guess you can always go look at TV and see somebody else.
Well, I want to come back to anxiety because I really kind of want to keep this about anxiety. We're wandering off down another rabbit hole. We're good at that.
Uh-huh.
I think another important thing that helps me with my anxiety is having someone in my life, and Mario's wonderful for this, and I have a couple of other really good friends for this, that will be honest with me, that I can get on the phone and go, you know what? I'm freaking out about this. And being an entrepreneur has its challenges too. The money doesn't just come in some steady flow. It ebbs and flows. And when we're not seeing the abundance that we feel that we need to be seeing for whatever's going on in our life right now, it can cause anxiety. So we get on the phone with that person and say, you know what, I'm feeling this. And having somebody to talk through that, that's not feeling it with you, that can be the objective perspective and say, but that's not really who you are anymore. You know, that's not your truth. What is your truth? And kind of talk me through what I'm going through.
Yeah. And a lot of that, because I do the same thing with you also, that I open up and just be that. The biggest part that you have to overcome, that anybody of us had to overcome, is being that vulnerable part. And I'm still moving through that. You have to be able to show that, you know, you're not all together. And that's probably some of the hardest things, because we're taught to be very strong creatures. It's like, nothing's going to take me down. It's like, if you're a man, it's even more ingrained. It's like, oh, well,
Man up.
It's, you're not supposed to cry. You're not supposed to do this. And you know, there's a movie, The Mask We Live In. I think that's the name of it, where they talk about all the man up stuff. And it's very interesting.
Well, women have it too. I mean, we may not have to have that tough masculine exterior, but being women, especially for some of us that have had careers in a mostly male-dominated industry, it's still not okay to run around out there. And, you know, women don't either show that vulnerable side very much in business. And that translates then to not knowing how to let that wall down when we're in intimate relationships or when we're sitting around with our friends. And yet when we're vulnerable, Brené Brown has done so much great work around that. I think we're starting to see a bigger mass shift of vulnerability, because once I can own that I'm afraid, I can deal with it. But I think more anxiety piles up when we are feeling anxious and we're trying to look like we're okay. That's really hard to do.
Yeah, that just adds another level. And you know, so another part, back to the Google part here about anxiety. So on the sidebar, when you search, it gives you certain information. And according to anxiety disorders here, they have very common, more than 3 million U.S. cases per year.
Wow.
Treatable by a medical professional, and then usually self-diagnosable. So, you know, if you think you're anxious, I guess you're anxious.
You probably are, yeah.
Then lab test or imaging not required. So that says a lot about it. I mean, I think that's more of a mental conditioning rather than a chemical. I'm sure that there's some chemical ones. I'm surprised that they don't announce anything like that.
Well, if you didn't have a pop-up blocker on, which you probably do, you'd have all these pop-up ads for chemicals right now that you could take that would take care of that anxiety for you.
Oh, I'm sure there would be.
You know, I don't know how I have been avoiding talking about the elephant in the room. It's funny that you talked about how many Americans have searched for anxiety. Our economy, our government, everything right now is in an anxious state. We have all had our anxiety heightened by what's going on in the world, and people are triggered like they have not been before. And I believe that's part of our collective evolutionary process and our individual evolutionary process. But nonetheless, it does bring about anxiety, because I believe as we are being shown the powerful beings that we really are, because when everything outside of us fails, we do go within. We do start to discover who we really are and the strengths that we have. But if we become too engrossed in what's going on around us and the leadership and the uncertainty of the health insurance plan, the economics, everything about our political and socioeconomic structure right now, it's easy to get anxiety triggered.
Well, it's a distraction. You know, it's a distraction so we're anxious about our life. So instead of going inward, it's like, oh, well, let me deal with something inside. I mean, that's the way I see some of the things happen.
It's more than a distraction. I mean, for somebody that's got a health condition and they don't know if they're going to have their health insurance or they can't, their health insurance isn't covering what it used to, and that's what they've always relied on. For some people, it's a very real panic to not know how they're going to pay for things, to not know what's happening with the economics, to not know what's happening with the medical care.
That's true. It
may be triggering us to find other solutions, which has helped communities like our Journey of Possibilities as people come in looking for other answers. So there may be a great divine purpose for it, but it also comes with a lot of anxiety. And so I guess for anybody that's finding this podcast because they're in a panic state like that around their economics, around very real challenges in our lives, some parenting with children that are in crisis. There are a lot of crises that seem very overwhelming, diseases that can hit us. That can bring very real anxiety. And I don't want to sound like I'm laughing off your anxiety. I want you to understand that I understand how real that can be, and that breathing through it and coming to a place within us where we can tap into our own divinity and recognize that we're so much greater than we've ever realized, and that there's something so much greater than us flowing through us. That's where we can start to breathe through it and start to find new solutions, because the possibilities are endless. And we tend to look around in the world and go, okay, I can do this or that. I've got three options available. If Google doesn't have it, it's not an option, whatever. And the options are really infinite.
Yeah, and it's funny you bring up Google, because Google's only giving you 3% of the internet. I mean, just to give you a matter of perception.
Wow.
I mean, there's a lot more stuff behind it. Most people don't think that there's more than what Google says, and there is. You just need to know how to look for it. That And that's all about perception. Google made you think that they're cataloging the entire internet. I mean, right now, you probably are just going, if you didn't know that, you're probably going, it's like, oh, hold on, wait a minute. So there's more out there? Yes, there is more.
97% more. And that's just what we've already come up with. We are creator beings. Not only do we have creator energy flowing through us, but we are creator beings. We create new things all the time. So yep. If we're looking at what already exists, again, that's like the 3%. If we looked at the 100% that's on the internet, that's probably 3% of what's actually possible, because we just keep doing what we've already done, right? We need to continue to look where we haven't looked.
Well, I mean, the patent office is also another perfect example. I mean, you hear about these inventions, but what you don't know is that the reason the patent attorneys get paid a lot is because there's a lot of inventions that have been put out there. It's just not all of them are being used. But there's a patent for an invention. So you're only seeing the inventions that have made it very popular. But there's little things that have come out that you don't even know. Maybe the little switch on your keyboard is actually patented and somebody created it a long time ago. It is really about perception. And I'm not saying that the answer is this or the answer is that. The answer is what you believe is your answer, for me at least.
Well, and I guess what was in my heart to do for this show was to say that when we get really quiet and we go within, we can access the part of us that understands that we are beyond our wildest comprehension. Anything is possible. And when we get together, really anything is possible. So it's about getting to that quiet place where we can really get still and invite in possibility into our life and maybe create what we didn't create before to solve those problems. But at the very least, the anxiety should go down when we realize that in this moment, I'm okay. I'm here, I'm breathing, I'm alive, I'm okay. And then maybe the next moment, and start to move into that space.
I couldn't even said it better. The one moment, to me, that's what it is. It's, are you okay this moment? So everybody, I'll get one that I don't like to go into politics, but it's a perfect one. Politics right now, everybody's saying, oh, Trump's going to do this, Trump is going to do that. Are you okay right now? And the chances are, you're probably okay right now. Now, is there something going on that you could do to help you for the future? There is. And that's your reality that has to, you move forward with your reality to create that. And that's my 2 cents.
Okay. Well, your 2 cents and my 2 cents, we've not even got a nickel, but we've had some fun today. And it's Easter weekend. And I think that's a really great reason to recognize what Easter teaches us in the story of Christ rising, which is what Easter is about. It's about transcending the material world and stepping into possibility, manifesting something new. He transcended death and came back again. And we have creator energy flowing through all of us to transcend whatever happens to us in this world. It's just a matter of getting still and tapping into that possibility. Thanks for joining us, and I hope you have a wonderful Easter. Mario and I will be thinking of you. You didn't say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Would you like to be a guest on Exploring Possibilities? Drop me a note at info@journeyofpossibilities.com. Thanks so much for joining us, and we'll see you next time on Exploring Possibilities.